I'll ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, and verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Trust the Lord to bless to us the reading of these verses. Let's bow again for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we've been reading from thy word, and we all need it. We think of those tonight who have reached, as it were, a point in life where they're going out into a new direction. We pray for them. We commit them to thee. And we ask that what we study from thy word tonight shall abide with them for many days to come. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Graduation, that's a great word these days, isn't it? It's a great time when people graduate. Of course, sometimes it becomes rather amusing. Somebody gave me a picture on one occasion of a little fellow. He was dressed up, he had a white jacket on and a white board over his head. It was taken at his graduation. He was graduating from kindergarten. I suppose he'll look back on that picture and wonder at it all. And then, of course, there comes the time when they graduate from school and they go to high school. They graduate from high school and some of them go to college and some of them begin to work. Nothing wrong with beginning to work. If you had come up the time that I came up, you had to work. No work, no pay. No pay, no nothing. You know what I mean? You couldn't go anywhere if you didn't have any money. So the least you could do, go and work. I've told you here before, we had to work and study at the same time. And then some go to college. Their parents are able to send them to college. And then they graduate from college. Then what? They've got to do something. then to decide what line in life they're going to pursue. Well, there are some of them here tonight who are graduating from high school. And you know, some folk think that when they leave school, they've learned it all. That's what the little boy said when he came home the first day from school. His mother said, "Well, what did you learn today?" He says, "I learned it all." Well, he learned it all. But I suppose he had years after that when he found he had still other things to learn. But it's nice when you're able to learn. But learning is only part of a process. What you learn has got to be put into practice. It used to be years ago that no matter what you were going to do, you had to serve what they called an apprenticeship. Whether you were going to be a builder or a carpenter or whatever it was, or you went into some profession, you served your apprenticeship. Then after you had so many years as an apprentice, you became an improver. You hadn't made it yet. And then you'd so long as an improver. Then you passed over and you became what they called a journeyman. Strange word, isn't it? That just meant you've had it now. You take your journey and go. Get a job somewhere. You're qualified now. You're a journeyman. And so everybody came up and took your place. Now I've turned your attention tonight to the book of Joshua. I believe Joshua was a man who knew something about graduating. When I think of graduating, I have the idea of rising up from one level to another. I think that's the idea behind it. You've passed through the time of training, and then you go on to something else. Joshua is a rather interesting character in the Word of God. Some time ago I sat down with this man, as it were, as my object lesson, and I began to think him through. And I thought, well, I wonder where was this fellow born? It's nice to find out where people are born, you know, and where they spent their first years. I went to take a picture one day of the house wherein I was born. In these days, the ladies didn't go to hospital when they're going to have children who are born at home. And I went to take a picture of the house in which I was born. And I took my own daughter and her cousin with me as I went to take the picture. It was a time when we were leaving Scotland to come over here 36 years ago. And she looked at me, she says, "Dad, is that the house in which you were born?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "That's not a thing to write home about, is it?" I said, "No, that house is way up about 150 or more years old now, and it will still be standing when some of the modern ones have fallen. The walls were so thick." However, she said, "That's nothing to write home about, I admit. It was a bit dilapidated when I took the picture, and it was worse the last time I saw it." But where is a person born? It does make a difference, you know. Where a person is born and brought up, the circumstances, the environment. Some folks have it hard from the very start. They find it difficult to make the grade. Born, as you would say in this country, on the wrong side of the tracks. And they don't get the right crack of the whip. They perhaps don't get the opportunity that others get. Well, what about Joshua? He made it. He made it. How did he start? He was born down in Egypt. His father was a slave. And so he was born a slave. As he grew up, he had to work in the brick kilns. He knew something about hard work. I often wonder, as a lad, as he looked forward, he would be asking himself, "What has life got for me?" And somebody would tell him when he was old enough to understand and say, you know, at the time you were born, a strange thing happened in this country. What was that? There was a man by the name of Moses, and he thought he could deliver all us slaves out of the bondage of Egypt. But he made a mistake, and Pharaoh was after him, and he had to flee the country. He was away somewhere, and everybody thought he was the man who was going to be our deliverer. And Joshua grew up knowing that. And one day that man came back. Moses came back after 40 years in the backside of the desert. Joshua has grown up then. He's a man, slave. Now, you ask yourself this question. Suppose you had been born in the same circumstances as Joshua. Do you think you could have made it? Or would you simply have sat down and said, it's useless. No need for me to try. No need for me to learn anything. Here I am, I'm just a slave. And if I don't do my work, I get that lash on my back. I'd be as well dead. Get out of it. That's what you might have said. But he made it. You know, it's amazing the people who have made it when they had a bad start. Way up in the northeast of Scotland, a little fishing town called Lossiemouth. I've been there often, preached there. One time I had my wife up there and took pictures. I took a picture of her standing in front of a little cottage. And on the side of that cottage there's a big plaque to tell you that in that little cottage, at such and such a time, there was a little boy born. His name was Ramsay MacDonald. Ramsay MacDonald was an unwanted boy. Unwanted. An illegitimate boy was born in that house. What chance did he have? Living in a little fishing village way up on the Moray Firth in the northeast of Scotland. An unwanted boy. But he made it. Not that I agreed with his politics, by no means. But I think it was 1923 when he became the first Labour Prime Minister of Great Britain and the first socialist government took office. 1923. It's true, he was only in office 9 months, but he was the Prime Minister of Great Britain. A poor, illegitimate, unwanted boy, he made the grade and became Prime Minister. There's a lot of others who were unknown quantities in their early days, but they made it. Joshua, a toiling slave. You find that back in the book of Exodus. But the day came when this Moses came back. He became the great leader of these people, and he led them out under the hand of God, led them out from their bondage, led them out from Egypt, out from Pharaoh's land, out from under Pharaoh's hand, and as a liberated people, they stood on the redemption side of the Red Sea, and they sang the great song of Moses, telling of what the Lord had done, and amongst them was Joshua. They hadn't gone far on their journey when there was an enemy who came out to meet them. One of our brethren spoke on this just the other night. They had to go out and engage this enemy. No, they hadn't fought a battle in their life. What are they going to do? Moses said, I'm going up on the mountain top to pray to God. And he took with him two men, Aaron and Hur. These were the men that held his hands up while he prayed and supplicated God. And as long as his hands were up appealing to God, down there the army of Israel was winning. But if his hands dropped, the enemy was winning. Now look down at those out there who are fighting the enemy. They're being led by a man called Joshua, a trained soldier, ready now for the battle. Says Moses to him, Joshua, you choose out men and go out and face the foe. Go out and fight with Amalek. I'll go up there and pray. While Moses prayed, Joshua was leading the fight down there. Listen, graduates, you haven't finished yet. You're only starting. You're just like that group that left Egypt's bondage. You know, it was one of the happiest days of my life when I walked out of school. Left those books and said, that's them finished. The reason, of course, I've told you over and over again, I never liked those teachers who were always swinging that belt. I had something in here that resented it. These kids that go to school now, they don't know a thing about it. They tell the teacher what to do. When I went to school, the teacher told you what to do or else. And we had one who used to be a sergeant in the British Army, and he still thought he was a sergeant when he came back to school. And he loved to swing that belt. I was standing one day with a group of my brethren who were at a conference, and I said to them, you know what, where I passed by today in the bus, I passed by the school at Fish Cross, and I said, I saw one of my old teachers standing there, R.D. Christie. I says, you know, the moment I saw him stand at that gate, I said, there was something in here. Begin to churn. After all those years, you know. The one fellow looked at me and says, you're not alone. Says, I see him often and I still think the same. Some folks would have liked to have taken him and lashed him. One man threatened him. But they don't do those things now, but it was a happy day for me when I left school. I didn't mind studying afterwards. I put in a lot of study after, I put in more study after I left the school than what I put in at the school. That doesn't mean that I neglected my lessons. I had prizes I won at school for maths and science and so on. I won a few prizes. But I hated school because I didn't like the teachers. But you graduate, you get out. But that's not the end. That's only the start. You face life. You have things to face. The children of Israel had to face their first enemy, their first difficulty, their first problem. Joshua, you go out and lead the fight. Trained soldier. Now the Bible tells us this, that the Christian has a battle to fight. Life is a battleground. It's not a playing ground. The Christian course is a battle. But God has provided the equipment for us. And we've got to put on the whole armor of God so that we'll be able to stand in the evil day. Young folks, you may have done well at school. You may have come out with that scroll now in your hand and you've made it, have you? That's only a start. You've life to face. You have problems to face. You have enemies to face, and you'll have to prepare yourself to fight the good fight. And you'll do it if you put on the whole armor of God. Joshua, trained soldier. That was only his first battle. He was battling for a long time until they went into the promised land, and he still had to battle in order to conquer the possessions and settle the people in the promised land. He was a trained soldier to his dying day. Let me remind you of this. You young folks think that you're the only folks that's facing problems, and it's all right for those preachers and these old folks. They're through with it now. They have no problems, so you think. I can assure you of this. Your problems are there all your life, right to the very end. So don't think that us old folks have no temptations and no problems. We have them the same as you, but we've got to stand in the evil day. But there's another aspect to this man. You find this one in Exodus chapter 32. We'll not turn to it, I'll just mention it. In Exodus 32, some strange things happen. Moses again is up on the mountaintop. But Joshua this time is not down in the valley. He's up on the mountaintop with Moses. And God is speaking to Moses. He's communing with Moses. And Joshua somehow is up there with him. And while he's up on the mountaintop with Moses, things go wrong down in the valley. The people say, we don't know what's become of Moses. He's been up there so long, I think he's run away and left us. They said, come on, Aaron, let's do something. Get up, make us gods that we can see. And that's when they stripped themselves of their gold, etc., etc., and they made the golden calf. The golden calf. But Joshua wasn't there. Joshua wasn't down there when they were worshipping that golden calf. I see Joshua now as a trusted servant. He's identified with Moses, the man of God. He's up on the mountaintop. As they're coming down, he has a trained ear. He's discerning something. He says, Moses, listen, there's a noise down in the camp. It's like a noise of war, but it's not the voice of victory. It's not the cry of victory. No, it wasn't the cry of victory either. It would resemble some of the stuff we're hearing today. They were worshipping the calf, and they'd got up and they were dancing round about it and singing their songs to the golden calf. I know one place that some of the young folks told the preacher that they thought the service needed a little bit of stirring up. They said, why don't you allow us to clap our hands and dance in the aisles? You think that's strange? They're doing that lots of places. They go out and dance in the aisles. He says, you can dance in the aisles as soon as you like, but he says, the one time you get out and start and dance in that aisle, you'll dance right out there and out that door and stay out. We'll have no dancing in the aisles here. He was a firm man. They were dancing around the golden calf. A kind of religious excitement had got up. But Joshua wasn't there. Oh no. Joshua was with the man of God. He was a trusted servant. He was a servant of Moses. Young folks, you've had your years of toiling. Now you had to be trained as soldiers to fight the good fight. I hope you'll be trusted servants. Trusted servants. A young fellow went to get a job one day. The boss took him right into his office. So said there, Says you're looking for a job. Says yes. So he started to talk to him. The boy chipped in. He says, excuse me, sir, but he says, what will my hours be here? How many hours will I have to work in a day? He told him. Start at 8 in the morning, finish at 5 at night. He says, well, I need to work on a Saturday. And he looked at him again. He says, how many holidays will I get in the year? He says, what will my pay be? Much will you pay me every week? When will I get my first rise? The man looked at him. He says, it's not a job you want, son. He says, out you go. He said, I'll get some of the money for this job. He didn't get the job. He wasn't interested in serving his master. He was interested in what he was going to get and how little he was going to give in return for his wages. That's all. That's the attitude of some folk. No. Men are looking for trusted servants. First day I went to work, the general manager took me into the department where I was to spend 4 years and 4 months, apprenticeship. And after they had a little chat, he left, and I'm standing there at attention. The man who would be my boss for these over 4 years, he says, take your coat off. He says, put that one there on. He says, that'll do it. You get one of your own. Put on a white coat. He says, as long as you're here, your job will be to do what you're told. That's a good start, isn't it? Your job will be to do what you're told. I didn't need to ask what I was to do. I knew I was to just do what I was told. And I hope I did it for the 4 years and 4 months I worked under him. I just did what I was told. You see, a trusted servant. As you go on through life, this is something that you've got to reach. Reach the point where people will trust you. Your service will be such, no matter what line you follow, whether it's laboring or if it's some professional side, you've got to reach the point where people will trust you. If they can't trust you, there's something wrong. Be a trusted servant. But now one day, as they went on their journey, they reached the borders of the Promised Land. I don't know if Moses was right or wrong in what he did. I think he was wrong, perhaps. He should have taken another way of it. But he said, that's the land. Now we're going to send in 12 men. And they're going in to spy the land. I don't think they needed to spy the land because God told them what it was. A land flowing with milk and honey. If God says it, that must be it. Why go and spy? Of course, when I came to the United States, I came twice and spied this land before I brought my wife over, make sure it was good enough for her. So after spending 9 months the first time and 6 months, I decided I wanted to come over. And I said, if I come, I'm going to stay in a little place called Raleigh. It's a big place now, but it wasn't too big then. But the children of Israel were going into the land of Canaan. They chose out 12 men, called spies, to go in and spy the land. And Joshua was one of them. See, he was a trusted servant. And so he was chosen to represent his tribe. And the 12 men went in to spy the land. They came back with the reports. 10 of them said, oh, we're not fit for that. All they saw was giants and themselves like grasshoppers. But Joshua, along with another man called Caleb, they said, yes, there's giants all right, but what about our God? And they brought back grapes. They said, we are capable of going in with our God. God will give us the land. Let's go up and take it right away. Here was a man who was a truthful spy. Yes, he said, there's giants in the land, but our God is able to overthrow the giants. with confidence in God, we'll go in. It's a wonderful land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of the grapes we've brought back. Just look at them. I know some of them couldn't look at grapes without eating them, of course. If they see them, they want them. Have you ever watched in the grocery stores the people that go eating the grapes without buying them? Not so bad, the grapes, a little grape, but when they start lifting the peaches and start eating them as they walk around, I often wonder if everybody lifted a peach in the grocery store, how many would be left on them? Hmm? He says, we saw the grapes and we cut down this cluster and it took two of them to bring in the grapes tied onto the pole. Clusters of grapes. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go in. I was a truthful spy. And because of that, he was the man who later on led them into the land. If he was truthful, he could be trusted. And if he was trusted, he could be truthful. Joshua was truthful. His estimate of the land was just in accordance with what God had said. Young graduates, as you go on through life, be marked by truthfulness. Never stoop to deny the truth. Never stoop to tell lies, to cover up deficiencies. Be truthful. You know, of course, George Washington couldn't tell a lie, so they say. Heard of a little boy who was at school and he heard the story about George Washington. So the next day he took his little hatchet. Down he went into the principal's garden and he whacked down some of his berry bushes. Next day at school, an inquiry. Does anybody know, anybody understand, can you tell who was in and destroyed the berry bushes in the principal's garden? So a fellow jumped to his feet and says, I did, sir. I did. Out to the floor. Why did you do it? He says, I wanted to be a great man like George Washington. George Washington cut down a cherry tree and admitted it. He became a great man. So he thought if he cut down the principal's bushes and admitted it, he would become a great man. He got the wrong idea of things, see? And you folks that teach children, be very careful, you know. They might take the wrong thought of what you're trying to tell them. George Washington didn't become a great man because he cut down a cherry tree. And he didn't become a great man because he admitted it. If he hadn't admitted it, he might have got something else. However, truthfulness counts. Let us be truthful. I want you to turn over your Bibles to the last chapter of Joshua as we close. The last chapter of Joshua. Verse 29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. What a wonderful funeral that must have been. As they gathered round and they buried Joshua, their great leader, the man who took them over after that Moses had died. You see, he reached a crisis in life. Did this man, Joshua? It must have been a great crisis to him when Moses, his leader, died. We've followed Moses all those years. He's been our instructor. He's been our go-between between us and God. What are we going to do now? We've lost our main pillar. A crisis. You know, when you come to a crisis in life, it should throw you back on God. When the crisis comes, learn to get into the room, shut the door, you and the Lord. Commit the matter to Him and hear what the Lord has to say through His Word. A crisis. But there was a duty to be accepted. It was what you might call a communication. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Go over the first five books of the Bible, and especially when you come to Exodus and Leviticus, these two. And mark out how often the Lord spake to Moses. The Lord spake to Moses. But now Moses is gone. No longer is he in between God and man. He's gone. The mediator is no longer there. And so the Lord spake unto Joshua. No longer is he dependent on Moses, but he hears the voice of the Lord. Now, may I suggest you have graduated from school? If you've never lent your ear before to what the Lord has to say to you, do it now. The great Apostle Paul started his career with these words, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you ever been at that stage in life? I remember the first time I was there. I knew a move had to be made. I was away from home, working in a big city. I knew I'd have to make a move. Things could not go on as they were. I was willing, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. It wasn't long before I was back home. Not exactly that I wanted to go back home, but that was the only alternative. And get a job back there again. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Can we listen to what the Lord has to say from His Word? The Lord spake unto Joshua, and the Lord will speak to you through that Word. But then again, there was a course to be followed. He says, go over this Jordan. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Not only did the Lord speak unto Joshua, He gave him the course he was to travel. There it is. Get ready now. You're going over this Jordan. The old wilderness will be behind you. The past is behind you. You're going over into something that's new. And the Lord will give direction. Go over this Jordan. You should be able now to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. You've graduated. You've reached another level. You'll have fresh opportunities. You'll have fresh burdens, fresh difficulties. But with the Lord, you can succeed. I trust it will be a life of success for every one of you graduates. And those of us who are older, we haven't finished the course yet. We may have other levels to reach. Let us also see to it that we keep going on. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We thank thee for all those young people who have exercised themselves while they've been at school. And now as they look back, they're wondering if they could have done better. But we thank thee for what they have accomplished. And now we pray thy hand to be upon them as they step out into life. When they've got to make decisions, wilt thou guide them? May it be they'll be willing to examine thy word and to commit themselves to thee by prayer and ask thy guidance. We remember thy word says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We pray, O God, that this may be some kind of motto for these young folks, day by day and year by year until the Lord comes. That they'll commit their way unto thee and be guided in all matters. Hear us now in the little time that we spend in fellowship together. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen. I was thinking before we go through there, we're going right through there for a refreshment. Bobby, do you think you could lead us in singing a couple of verses of Onward Christian Soldiers? I don't know the number of it. Do you get it?